Well, good morning again. I am glad that you're here. I am excited about this Mother's Day teaching we have today. We are in week number two of this series that we began last week. So on the screen, this is a picture of some of my kiddos, but we're going to be talking about Chloe for just a moment. Chloe is the big one on the left, the big picture, I mean, then also it's the little picture right beside her, that's her as well. And so somewhere around this age of the one where she's got a ponytail on top, somewhere around that age, Chloe was, I think it was a vacation or something, I can't remember, but Chloe was sitting, she was in her little swimsuit, she was sitting on the steps of the swimming pool, at I think it was somewhere in Branson, I think, there was an adult watching her in the pool with her sitting on the steps as well, but Chloe was holding on to that handrail that goes down into the pool, and so she was just standing there playing on the steps, and the adult must have gotten distracted because they didn't see when Chloe let go of the handrail and took a step forward and went off the steps into the water and just went down. she was heavy, just a heavy little bit. She just sank. She went down. And so in that moment, I didn't have on a swimsuit. I was not planning on swimming. There was supposedly a responsible adult watching her at that moment, but it just didn't turn out that way. I was fully dressed. I had on my blue jeans, and I had my pockets full of everything you just normally have your pockets full of, including my phone, wallet, keys, all that stuff. But she was going under in that moment instantly, and I didn't even pause. Obviously, we're good parents, I think. I didn't even pause. I didn't think about it. This did not go through my mind. Oh, she'll figure it out. You got to learn somehow, right? This is a great time to learn how to swim. She'll figure it out. She needs to discover in this moment what's going to work for her. Right? What's going to fit her? What's going to work for her? She'll figure it out. No, that is not what went on in my mind. I jumped into the water. It wasn't deep. It was just chest high. So it wasn't deep. Deep for her, not for me. But I just jumped in with my phone in my pocket and everything. I wasn't thinking, oh, would somebody else take care of this? I wasn't thinking, hey, let me see if I could find someone with a swimsuit on that might take care of this for me. I just took care of it because it was important to me to make sure it was taken care of. I just took care of it. So she was about this age. That was Chloe then. I'm going to give you a video. I'm getting ready to be a little transparent with you. And so I just ask for your grace and mercy for this next little video clip. I'm going to take you back 20 years ago. 20 years ago at my first church plant that I ever did as a church planter, and you're going to get a cameo of Chloe again. So this is about 5 or 6 years later. Chloe has a cameo here at the beginning and the end of this video. So take a moment and feel my pain and my shame. Here we go. Watch this. At least she was jumping in the water for me, right? Right. Getting hurt in the front yard, that can be no big deal, right? Can be no big deal. A child bouncing a little too high on the trampoline might not end great, but probably still going to be okay. I mean, with a little medical attention, not so bad. Falling off a trampoline, okay. But if we fall over like something like this, that's going to be on the screen if I did it right. There we go. If we fall off of that, then we're in trouble, right? I mean, there's no coming back from that. There's no second chance if that's what we're going to fall off of. Your child running in to go chase after a ball in this place right here that Nathan's going to put on the screen for me. Your child running after a ball here, no big deal. That's going to be okay. But your child running after a ball in this next picture, there's no coming back from that. So as we think about our children, do we want our kids to learn everything through trial and error? Because in this scenario, you only get one shot, right? The trial's over, right? So no, of course not. We don't want them to learn everything from trial and error. Some things, yes, but not everything, because that's really what parents are for. We don't want them to learn some things the hard way, because for some things, there is no coming back from that. Some things are just too important to leave to chance, or to leave to just time and saying, oh, they'll figure it out eventually. Some things are too important because they actually, some things matter more. Some things have a bigger, more lasting consequence. So if we are going to work hard to help our kids with this, then why, possibly, in all of God's creation, would we not work even harder to help our kids with this? Let that kind of sink in. And I think to help us with this morning, let's go and see how maybe God can help us with this. So we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture. Let me start here before we jump somewhere else. We're going to start in the New Testament, the New Covenant Christian Scriptures, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Listen to this. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, this is what he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. What Jesus is doing is he's answering this question with something that all faithful Jews were familiar with, and it's called the Shema. You notice that passage started with one word, that started with the word listen, and that is the Hebrew word for that is Shema. So that's what they called this passage of Scripture. They called it the Shema. So as soon as Jesus started answering this question, they knew exactly what the Shema was. They knew exactly what he was saying. And Jesus was saying, this is the most important. If you do this, this is the most important in all of life. And it is the Shema. So in Hebrew, that's that first word. So that's how he starts his answer. What is most important? He answers with this very famous passage he's quoting from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Hebrew Scriptures. And so as he's quoting that, let's look at what he is quoting from. So we just read you the passage in the Christian Scriptures, but let's go to what Jesus was quoting from in the Old Covenant and the Hebrew Scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 7. This is what Jesus was quoting. It says, listen, O Israel. And that word listen, the Hebrew word for that is Shema, and that's what they called this whole passage, the Shema. They would repeat it multiple times a day in their home. the Shema. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. In other words, God is saying, listen up, pay attention, love God with everything about you, everything you've got and everything you are, love God with that. Now, there's more. This is where Jesus stopped his answer. He goes on and says some other things, but he's not quoting the Shema after this. But here's what I want to do this morning. This is how Jesus started his answer, but now I can't think of a better time than now as we're in this series called Home is Where the Herd Is. I want to look at what are the other parts of the Shema. So that Jesus quoted, because that's where their minds went. As soon as they heard Jesus quote this, this is where their minds went. And we're going to be looking at it. So, and he says, love God with everything. That's the Shema. And so it goes on. Here's more of the Shema, verse 6. And so God adds something here. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. He's saying, I want you to commit wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not just giving it an effort, everything about you, wholeheartedly. But then, don't stop there. Your responsibility as a parent goes further. It is beyond just you and your life. So it's more than just you committing to this. It goes further. It's more than just your life as an adult and your choices, much further than that, much further. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. So God is saying this is more than just something for you. This is for your kids. This is for your grandkids. He's saying, make sure you tell them. Make sure as an adult you teach them. Make sure they understand. A few verses later, he says, now I also want you to explain why. Don't just tell them, explain why. Here's what he says in verse 20. In the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws and decrees and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? And God says, then you must tell them. And here's what he says. Tell them this. We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had sworn to give our ancestors. And so over and over and over again, God is telling them, don't forget. Don't let your children forget. Don't let your grandchildren forget. Share these stories of what you have experienced with God. Share them with your children. Share them with your grandchildren. Before the Shema, a couple of chapters earlier, listen to how God describes this. He says, but watch out, be careful, never forget what you yourself have seen. Don't let these memories escape your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Not grill children, your grandchildren. In other words, make it a top priority in your life that this is going to happen. Because if we don't, we can leave our child with the biggest hurt of all eternity. And so I would say this is what parents are for. We don't want our children to learn everything the hard way, because some things are just too important. You see, there's no coming back from some things. Some things in their lives are just too important to leave to chance. So that was the Shema we just read from the Hebrew Scriptures. And so my question this morning is, what does that look like today? What does the Shema maybe look like this side of the cross? So let's go back through those verses and let's just visit about that. Back to Deuteronomy, and we're chapter 6, verse 6. And you, if I would encourage you, if you write in a Bible, I would encourage you to circle that word you, because that's where we take this very personally. God is speaking to you. So you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. He's saying, you commit yourself, adult. As an adult, you commit yourself wholeheartedly. And so this side of the cross, we can say to following Jesus, commit yourself wholeheartedly to following Jesus. So as a mom and as a dad, as a grandma and a grandpa, as an aunt, as an uncle, you commit yourself wholeheartedly. You see, that's exactly where we have been this whole year so far. We started in January and we said, what does a disciple look like in the church? And God would say, that should be you. And then we, in February, we said, what does a disciple look like when you leave your home and you go to work? And I would say, that is what Jesus would say you should look like at work. And then we took March and April and we said, are we really a disciple? And I would say the answers to those questions, all those things that John was writing about in his letter of 1 John, I would say that is what you, if you're a follower of Jesus, are to look like, and you're as you commit yourself to him, to following Jesus wholeheartedly. So this first part, you have a responsibility. You commit yourselves wholeheartedly. Then we have something else. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Tell your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews, tell them what it means to live a life that is wholeheartedly committed to Jesus. Tell them. And go a step further and then show them what that looks like by living that life. A parent might say, you know, we've had a busy weekend. We've had a busy weekend, but you know what? Talking to their child, it's been busy and we got in late. But this is Sunday, and so this is first. We may be tired, but we, this morning, are going to chase after Jesus together. We are going to go worship Jesus together. I believe we are showing them. We're showing them. We're not just telling them, but we have to tell them. We are showing them. We are reminding them over and over and over again. Jesus is the first thing. Everything else in our life, in this family, comes at a distant second. In other words, in this family, before everything else, we are chasing after Jesus. So you know what that means today on Sunday? So we're going to go worship Jesus this morning with the church. He goes on in verse 7. Talk about them when you are at home. In other words, while you are at home and y'all are playing as a family, talk about a life wholeheartedly committed to Jesus. When you are watching TV, you have many opportunities to pause and talk about a life wholeheartedly committed to Jesus. When you're watching a movie together, talk about that. A life that is committed to Jesus. And what does that look like? And what does that mean? When you're eating meals together, a life that is committed to Jesus. So he says, when you are at home, and then he says, and when you are on the road. In other words, possibly, while you're on your way to school, if you're dropping the kids off, the conversation might look like this with your child. What does it look like to love Jesus while you're at school today? On your way home from school, how did your day go? What was great about your day today? What was tough about your day today? And now, what does it look like to love Jesus even when we have a bad day? On your way to ball practice, what does it look like to love Jesus while you're with your team today? At the ball game, what does it look like to love Jesus while you're competing? And what does it look like to love Jesus when the umpire or the official makes a call that we don't like? What does it look like to love Jesus then? He goes on, when you're going to bed. So maybe the conversation with your child says, how did loving Jesus go today for you? And then you know what we can always say is, well, you know, we have another chance to love Jesus tomorrow. So maybe we should just talk to Jesus about that right now. And then the writer says, and when you are getting up. So in the mornings, you have a great opportunity with your child. Today, you have a great opportunity. This morning, today, you have a great opportunity to love Jesus with what you are going to say. You have a great opportunity today to love Jesus with everything you're going to do today, with everything about the way you treat others today. You have an opportunity to love Jesus with the way that you talk to them, the way that you talk to your teachers and your other students. You have an opportunity to love Jesus today. You see, there are some things, obviously, in their lives that they can learn by themselves. In fact, there are some things in their lives that they probably need to learn by themselves so that it really sticks and they have the time to learn that. And the consequences are not going to be devastating as they fail on their way to learning that. But I would say not this. Moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles, not this. Don't leave this to chance. That is what parents are for. We don't want them to learn this the hard way. There is no coming back from some things. Some things are just simply too important. So let's look at that next passage, verse 20. He says, explain this to your children. Explain why. In the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws and decrees and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? And then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. Now, what does this passage look like for a Christian, a Christ follower? What does this passage look like on this side of the cross? They were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. But I'm pretty sure we could say this to our children. I was a slave to sin. I was addicted to getting my own way. I was addicted to pleasing myself. I was addicted to putting myself before others. Child, I was a slave to sin. And we can also say this, and it's the very same for you. My child, you're a slave to sin. You are going to be tempted today to get your own way. You are going to be tempted today to put yourself before everyone else. The writer goes on, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. And so on this side of the cross, how does he bring us out of Egypt? On this side of the cross, how does he bring us out of what we are slaves to? And I can say this, I hope you can say this, he saved me from my sin. I hope we can tell our child this, that he has set me free and he has brought me out. And let your children know that he is setting you free from your addictions to selfishness, from your addictions to pleasure, from your addictions to living life on your own terms, the way you want to live it, how you want to live it, regardless of what God says. He goes on, the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes. He says, let your children know this. So what does that look like this side of the cross? Let your children know what God has and is doing for you. So for me, I could tell my children this. He did this for me. When my life fell apart, he didn't forsake me. I can tell you this, when my kid's mom came to me and said, I am through with you after 24 years of marriage, God looked at me and said, I'm not through with you. I can tell my kids this, he did this for me. When I had no more energy left to live life, God said, don't give up. He said, I've got you. He did this for me. When everyone else deserted me and walked away from me, God never did. He did this for me. When I was self-destructing, God quickly began reconstructing. And so for you in your life, tell your children what God is doing for you, what he has done and what he is doing. Show your children what he's doing for you. Tell your grandchildren what he's doing for you and what he has done. Tell your nieces and your nephews what God is doing for you. We don't want our kids to learn this the hard way. There's no coming back from some things. Some things are just too important for us to leave to chance. So let's look at this last picture we talked about. No, we didn't. This is a new one. Let's jump back into the Christian scriptures, Matthew chapter 19. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. He said, don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And so to that, I would say parents, and I would say aunts and uncles and grandparents, help them get into the arms of Jesus. Don't stop them. And don't slow them down by not being involved. Don't make them figure this out on their own. Don't slow them down. Don't crowd their lives with everything else on this earth except a whole life commitment to Jesus. Don't be so focused on filling their schedules and making the practice and getting to the game and paying for the registration fees and getting them coached and getting their equipment and their uniforms and giving them a great vacation and a wonderful birthday party. Don't make sure all of those things are taken care of and neglect getting them to Jesus. Help them make it safely to Jesus, aunts and uncles, grandparents and parents. Help them get into the arms of Jesus. Don't stop them. Don't make them figure it out on their own. Don't slow them down. So mom and dad and aunt and uncle and grandparent, help your children and your grandchildren, and your nieces and your nephews make it safely to Jesus. Remember that passage. You don't have to pull it up on the screen, Nathan. I'm just going to mention it. That passage that said, In the Hebrew scriptures, he said, but hey, watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Why would God tell us to be careful to never forget what God has done for us? I can tell you why he would tell us that. I can tell you why he would tell me that. Because I all too quickly forget what God has done for me. I forget how he has freed me from sin and myself. I forget. Do you know why I forget it most often? Because I most often begin living as a slave to sin again. A freed man, freed by Jesus Christ, choosing to live as a slave to sin again. He tells us don't forget because he knows we're going to forget. This morning, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, perhaps for you this morning, you have forgotten. And in forgetting, you've made it more difficult for your child to get to Jesus. This morning, I have great news for you. It's the same thing we just told our children just a moment ago. Tomorrow, and starting right now, we have a great opportunity to love Jesus with our whole life. If by chance you have not yet been baptized, here's what I want to say to you. Maybe you were baptized. Maybe you were sprinkled as a child. Here's what I want to say to you. Believer's baptism happens after that moment that you have trusted Christ with everything about you. And I want to say this. We baptize at the church in Malvern and at Stuttgart Harvest Church. We baptize probably 10 adults for every one student or elementary age school child that we baptize. 10 to 1. Maybe bigger than that. It's at least 10 to 1. I cannot think of a better testimony that you could have for your child, a better conversation that you could have for your child if you have not been baptized to say, I am starting afresh. I want you to know that Jesus is the boss of my life. And I haven't been baptized since I submitted my life to his care and control, and I'm going to do it as my first step of obedience. I'm going to do that. Because from now on, I'm going to be wholeheartedly chasing after Jesus and following Jesus. What a great way. If that is where you are in your life, what a great way to begin these conversations with your child as a mom, a dad, as a grandfather, a grandmother, as an aunt, as an uncle who says, I'm going to follow the commands of Jesus. I don't know what step you need to take this morning, but I know this. Students, adults, we all have a step we need to take with Jesus this morning. We're getting ready to sing a song together. This is maybe a new song for you. And if it is, sing as you're able, as you can kind of follow along. The lyrics are going to be on the screen, but here's what we're going to be singing about. It is a testimony of what God is doing in lives today. And just maybe this song is what he's doing in your life. I can't think of a better thing for us to be able to sing together as we close today, as we say this, look, what God has done in my life. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this testimony that we can have. And I pray that this would be our story as well. That we can tell our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews and teenagers. We could tell our parents and our family, young adults. That we could tell those who are around us. We can say this. This is what God, through Jesus Christ, is doing in my life. And he's changing me forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.